Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to Book 5, Chapter 7. When Boris and Anna Pavlovna returned to the others, Prince Ippolit had the ear of the company. Bending forward in his armchair, he said, "Le Roi de Prusse," and having said this, laughed. Everyone turned towards him. "Le Roi de Prusse," Ippolit said, interrogatively, again laughing, and then calmly and seriously sat back in his chair. Anna Pavlovna waited for him to go on, but as he seemed quite decided to say no more, she began to tell of how, at Potsdam, an impious Bonaparte had stolen the sword of Frederick the Great. "It is the sword of Frederick the Great which I," she began, but Ippolit interrupted her with the words, "Le Roi de Prusse," and again, as soon as all turned towards him, excused himself and said no more. Anna Pavlovna frowned. Mortemart, Ippolit's friend, addressed him firmly. "Come now, what about your Roi de Prusse?" Ippolit laughed, as if ashamed of laughing. "Oh, it's nothing, I only wished to say..." He wanted to repeat a joke he had heard in Vienna, and which he had been trying all that evening to get in. "I only wish to say that we are wrong to fight poor Le Roi de Prusse." This translates to "for the King of Prussia," a phrase used in French to denote a trifle of no value. Boris smiled circumspectly, so that it might be taken as ironical or appreciative, according to the way the joke was received. Everybody laughed. "Your joke is too bad. It's witty but unjust," said Anna Pavlovna, shaking her little shriveled finger at him. "We are not fighting poor Le Roi de Prusse, but for right principles. Oh, that wicked Prince Ippolit," she said. The conversation did not flag all evening, and turned chiefly on the political news. It became particularly animated towards the end of the evening when the rewards bestowed on the Emperor were mentioned. "You know, received a snuff box with the portrait last year," said the man of profound intellect. "Why shouldn't S get the same distinction?" "Pardon me, a snuff box with the Emperor's portrait is a reward, but not a distinction," said the diplomatist. "A gift, rather. There are precedents. I may mention Schwarzenberg." "It's impossible," replied another. "Will you bet? The ribbon of the order is a different matter." When everybody rose to go, Helena, who had spoken very little all the evening, again turned to Boris, asking him in a tone of caressing, significant command to come to her on Tuesday. "It is of great importance to me," she said, turning with a smile towards Anna Pavlovna, and Anna Pavlovna, with the same sad smile with which she spoke of her exalted patroness, supported Helena's wish. It seemed as if from some words Boris had spoken that evening about the Prussian army, Helena had suddenly found it necessary to see him. She seemed to promise to explain that necessity to him when he came on Tuesday. But on Tuesday evening, having come to Helena's splendid salon, Boris received no clear explanation of why it had been necessary for him to come. There were other guests, and the Countess talked little to him, and only as he kissed her hand on taking leave, said unexpectedly and in a whisper, with a strangely unsmiling face, "Come to dinner tomorrow, in the evening. You must come. Come." During that stay in Petersburg, Boris became an intimate in the Countess's house. There we have it, another chapter down, a very short one. What happened there? It was interesting to watch Boris react to Ippolit's crude joke. He did this very strategic smile, which could mean I'm either smiling at the patheticness of this joke or I'm smiling along because it's humorous. He kind of split the difference. Very diplomatic solution to the question of should I laugh at this joke or not. original CJ5 mentioned that their book, the footnote talking about the King of Prussia joke, translated the meaning of that joke to get nothing but trouble for your pains. Slightly different from what we had. We had for a trifle of no value. I'm not sure which version original CJ5 is reading, but we've got the Maud version. Turtle Vader asked the question, how do you think Boris and Helena's relationship will develop moving forward? How will their closeness affect Pierre? Original CJ5's answer to that was, given the pace that Tolstoy develops relationships, I think it will progress very swiftly. Pierre has got to a point where these things should hardly affect him. The society will obviously side with Helena, citing that she is involved with Boris because Pierre didn't entertain her. Man Polo actually has another translation for the footnote, saying that in the Gyldendal second edition, which is actually a Danish edition of the book, it is described as to do something for free. Just to skip back there to that point. Laura Astrid said, Ippolit's just an idiot. He's not funny. He's amused by himself, and people go along with it because he's handsome and connected and shows no self-doubt. Yeah, I don't know if he's handsome. I think he's actually described as ugly. But he certainly is kind of charismatic and confident. And definitely he is an idiot. Welcome to the podcast, Personal and Real. Said, Boris is becoming way too calculated for me. I have a feeling his lack of sincerity will make him appear fake and make it harder for him to climb the social ladder. Especially if he starts associating with Helena. You know, I'm not that attached to Boris. I don't dislike him. He's all right. He's like his mother. But, you know, he's a social manipulator and he's a ladder climber and all the rest. You know, I like him as a character, but he's not the kind of character where I'd be devastated if he was killed off. As harsh as that sounds. Not that I want him to die or anything like that. But I'm just not that attached to him. He's a good character as far as, you know, a narrative goes, a book. But yeah, I'm not too fussed about him. I know that's not a very interesting opinion to have, indifference, but yeah. It's kind of the same with Helena as well. If they end up getting together, I feel like they could do some real damage. They could be a force to be reckoned with, and they would be a destructive force for the characters like Pierre, Andrew, you know, the characters that I actually care about. But I certainly wouldn't say I'm on Team Boris, or yeah, I'm not rooting for them to succeed. It was a really short chapter, so I'm going to keep this episode very short. Thanks very much for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow.